This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Since the day of my election, we've already cut illegal immigration at the southern border by 61%. Think of that. 61% that we haven't started. And the courts are not making it easy, folks.
Donald Trump at a rally in Kentucky today talking about immigration and Obamacare and trying to get it done, meaning the Republicans on the Hill need to come together, and that was one of the pushes from the president. Hey, everybody, as we push into this show, hope you're having a good start to your week. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. How about this? In Canada now, they're saying, since Donald Trump was talking about immigration and what the numbers look like now, almost half of Canadians want illegal border crossers deported. Reuters did this poll, and I took a look at it, and although there's been support for high levels of legal immigration, that makes sense, right? I'm supporting legal immigration for the United States. How about you? You want to jump on board that train? However, one thing that they're talking about is cracking down on the problems they're having, Canada, our neighbors to the north, with illegal immigration. So Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is trying to handle the influx and is saying that the significant minority, 4 out of 10 people who responded to the poll, the Reuters Ipsos poll, said the border crossers could make Canada less safe. Less safe. A flow of hundreds of asylum seekers of African and Middle Eastern origin from the United States in recent months is becoming an issue in Canada. You know, the joke about the website crashing because people were checking about crossing the border, that's where a lot of that is coming from. Not just disgruntled movie stars who are trying to be funny. I mean, seriously. So Canadians are just as concerned about illegal immigration as Americans, according to this poll. 48% supported increasing the deportation of people living in Canada illegally. Specifically, they're talking about the border crossings, who's coming over. Isn't that interesting? So in Canada, they don't want to have those problems. And because of what's happening in the United States, the feeling among Canadians is that is pushing people across the border to the north. Mm. While that's happening, the border wars all the way around, whether it's the Canadians saying, oh, not so much anymore, or in the United States, the conversation about where are we headed with illegal immigration, the conversation about funding for walls and different areas, etc. While that's all going on, Rex Tillerson, who is a Secretary of State, announced plans to skip the NATO meeting, visiting Russia in April, supposedly. I happened to see a story about that, where he's going to... Instead, he's going to skip this meeting with the NATO foreign ministers to stay home for a visit by China's president. He's going to go to Russia later in April. And the timing, in a way, isn't good for that, at least the announcement of that, because, you know, what the State Department is saying, listen, Rex Tillerson is going to meet on Wednesday with foreign ministers from 26 of the 27 other NATO countries, all but Croatia, at a gathering of the coalition working to defeat the Islamic State militant group. That's what's happening. And was just saying, why would he have a separate trip? Why would it have been separate? Because that doesn't make any sense. But skipping the NATO meeting and visiting Moscow, would that risk feeling a perception that Trump may be putting U.S. dealings with big powers first and leaving the smaller ones, smaller nations, to kind of fend for themselves, depending on, you know, where they're headed. And it does bring up the next biggie on the day. The FBI director, James Comey, was on the Hill testifying. And Comey really kind of went after, I don't know that it was intentionally, but kind of questioned the credibility of Donald Trump's claims about wiretapping, for one, and then what's happening with this Russia investigation. So in a very, he's very deadpan, and somebody described it that way, James Comey. He had a conversation on the Hill. And now that he's back up there and he's talking, so just 5 months ago, Democrats were, you know, fuming at Comey's handling of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server. And so now here he is back again. And what he's saying is that they're looking at potential leaks and distractions and everything else that's happening at the White House. And Comey is saying, he told the House Intelligence Committee that he had no information to support claims by the president that Trump Tower was targeted in a surveillance operation ordered by his predecessor, Barack Obama. Mike Rogers from the National Security Agency said that Obama had ordered British spies to eavesdrop on his presidential election campaign. He torpedoed that claim because that was one of the things that Trump said. So 2 months in office, the significance of these individual events, I don't know if that just gets pushed to the side, but that's what happened in Washington. But the White House is standing its ground. The whole claim of tapping, the president even being publicly rebuked, intelligence chiefs and a bipartisan congressional leadership, some of them, a handful, like two of them, the White House and the Republicans in the committee said that, you know, they threw something else into this whole Russia mess and raised questions about whether leaks that exposed former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's name following his conversations with the Russian ambassador breached the law, saying that it might be the former Obama administration is to blame. So, Comey did confirm that some of the Obama officials might have had access to intelligence, but didn't draw any conclusions about them. But the White House is not backing down in any way, shape, or form. They're not backing down. So Comey gets questions and questions and questions, and he's saying what he thinks in his deadpan way is going on. I think it suggests that, if anything else, especially in this House Intelligence Committee, that now we're going to have these Russian interventions. What is the political storm? Is it a political storm that has some merit, or is it just nonsense? It's up for you, America, to decide. And what they say in Washington. Stay with us.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play around. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand.
People realize that Justices Thomas and Sotomayor agree about 60% of the time, or that Justices Scalia and Breyer agreed even more often than that, all in the very toughest cases in our entire legal system.
That would be Gorsuch, who could be your next Supreme Court judge. He's going through the confirmation process. I like a lot of what he has to say. I think he's trying to really unite everybody and say, as he just said there, listen, it's not always this disagreeing war that you have to wear one shield and have one label. And if you don't go by that label, then we will do something about it and kick you off the team. Because let's face it, sports is like politics, and politics is like sports. There are the teams, the passion, the incredible, I think, overflow of emotions with sports and with politics. So bravo that Gorsuch is kind of keeping it that way, talking about, yeah, here's my record. You know it. You see it. This is the deal. And they'll get deeper into how he sees some issues, perhaps. But I don't think he's going to have a hard time getting confirmed. And, it's been over a year, as we know. And the big wait was on anyway because we were in the middle of a presidential election. Democrats didn't agree with it. But there was no way there was going to be a rush to get anyone in there, and it certainly wasn't going to be anybody that Obama nominated, because they weren't going to have the votes to support that. There's never going to be any confirmation anyway, and I don't think that we're going to see any problem with Gorsuch unless something really comes out of the blue. But I know people who know him, and I don't think there's anything that's going to come flying out of left field that we don't already know about this man. All right, if you want to throw in your two cents, you can. Finally, a Supreme Court judge. I think it's about time we got to wrap this baby up. And, you know, it's interesting to see that now the Republicans have modified the health care plan to appease their own members. And that includes a ton of amendments, a ton of them, seriously, including to Medicare. So we'll see if it goes through this time. Trump said he's 100% behind the Republican bill. They need the votes in the House, a lot of them, 218. Will they get the votes? The modifications include some different tax kind of breaks and other amendments to make the Affordable Care Act more palatable for the constituents of so many of the Republicans who are complaining. We'll see if the harshest critic, Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, will actually jump on board. Remember, this is through the House flow first. So the taxes imposed on the by the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, the original one, on the wealthy sectors of the healthcare industry and others to pay for expanded coverage would be repealed in 2017 instead of 2018. So they were made to draw support from conservative members, saying that the original bill didn't go far enough. And there were a couple of other gems that were thrown in there, too, to appease some of the complainers. Let's go to Grim. Hey, Grim.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay, but this country ain't.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
If they're going to tear down that, well, you just talked about the new nominee. I can't remember his name even after hearing it. That's
Gorsuch.
My short term. Yeah, they're going to tear him down. You know that. Good man, they're going to tear a good man down. About all they do all the time. I heard that Rachel Maddow enjoyed her mac and cheese and pork chop down in Guantanamo.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, also, Rachel Maddow? Yeah.
I also heard that at least Cooney, you know, the FBI can find a football jersey, too.
Yeah, isn't that interesting that after all of that, they finally come up with it? And, you know, there's actual video of the guy, so it's apparently a lot easier than we thought, or they just hadn't gotten it together, and they got the jerseys back, both of them.
Well, they've been, you know, investigating this. It's been an ongoing investigation.
For a while.
Denver's helmet disappeared, and
yeah.
A prior jersey.
I love it.
Well, you know, I kind of laughed today, too, when I heard, you know, after Comey testified, it's been an ongoing investigation. Well, let me see. Ongoing investigation. That would call for somebody doing surveillance, wiretapping, and all. No, we never wiretapped. But then how can you have an ongoing investigation if you ain't wiretapped?
That's hilarious.
Well, it's a waste of our money is what it is, Kate. That's what it is. I just love to napalm that whole city.
No kidding, huh?
I mean, there's a lot of good there that, you know, I'd say, get out. But, I mean, it is just so... money runs it all, I guess. That's all they're worried about. Thank God I know I got my little piece of heaven, you know?
Yeah, and that's what it's about. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, but it is ridiculous the way they are. It's just like I even heard the Wisconsin senator, they refer to him as Frankenstein, you know, the ex-SNL actor that became senator. And he actually, you know, he ain't even got enough background to say a thing about Sorkis, you know, the Supreme Court justice that died. And yet, you know, he's sitting there saying, even though he was a hard, staunch constitutionalist on the Supreme Court, he did not show any favoritism to the LGBT group or, you know, the Constitution wasn't written for them. It's a framework for, it's just aggravating, Kate.
I know.
Here you got a man trying to put down somebody that was always doing good, you know. I can't, you know, I just, for life of me, they want Sodom and Gomorrah so hard and fast that it's ridiculous. I'd say let's just give it to them and sit back. When they come in our little play yard, get rid of them. That's about
right.
Where I'm at.
Right. It's frustrating.
Well, it's very frustrating. I mean, they're even, you know, I'm not totally, I don't think anybody's totally 100% Trump. We're all watching him. But he's been doing more good than any other president we've had elected. And you know, I did that little bit with the senator, I can't remember, oh, goodness gracious. Anyhow, all the news media and everything else is calling this Trump's health care. Now, it's all a play on words. This is not Trump's health care package. It was not drafted by Trump. It has not been signed by Donald Trump.
Right.
This was drafted by the House of Representatives with the key drafter, House Speaker Ryan. This is Ryan's proposal. And if everybody would have listened, the last thing Trump said was that we're going to all sit down, get together, hash it out, and come out with the good. In other words, it sounds like to me, he's saying, I don't agree with everything they put together in the House. They're going to have to meet my criteria before I sign it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you got to listen to these play on words. You know, that's why I started out with Rachel Maddow down there in Guantanamo enjoying her mac and cheese. I wonder how many people start believing that.
Yeah.
Are you that gullible out there?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think people are gullible. And you have to, you know, you have to just dig a little for yourself. And it's easy to find when you start to look around, and you can certainly make up your own mind by doing that. And that's the thing. We live in a world where there is access. I mean, it's not like there isn't any access.
That's the first thing. Don't pick a side.
Just look at the stuff. Look at the information.
Look at both sides.
Yep.
Talk to somebody else.
Yep.
Get another opinion.
I agree.
And hash it out. And sooner or later, you know, you may never come to a decision, but the truth may come to light.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
But that's the problem. The truth, we need more of it now than we need this. The media is actually lighting a fuse that they should not be lighting. If you would have watched Nightline, they ended their debate tonight with, you know, the investigation, and then they ended it with North Korea being able to nuke us. It was like saying, hey, you know, we're a troubled country. Go ahead.
Ugh, boy, let's hope not. I talked about Korea and how, for once, there's no doubt in my mind that there are possibilities that we used to just laugh at. Kim Jong-un is a nutball with an itchy trigger finger, so to speak. Stay with us.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with a trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Yeah, looking around the room, I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room,
in the whole wide room.
And when you're on the street, depending on the street, I bet you are definitely in the top three.
So we're talking about humor, and it's funny, when you say the word humor, it means different things to different people, I think. I think a day without humor, to me, is like a day without 10 cups of coffee. Casey McNeil joins us now. He is so funny. He is a radio and TV personality, a speaker. He's open for many legends, a comedian himself. Again, just has an incredible body of work. He's been in a ton of movies, so I know that you have seen this face. But we're speaking to him. This is audio, so you're going to have to go and look him up. And it's a handsome, funny guy. Casey, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to be here.
So, humor. This is such a broad question, but when someone says, hey, what's funny? And that's a tough question to answer. What do you say?
Well, essentially funny, I think, is when, I mean, there's different libraries in the school of what is funny. And basically anything that makes people laugh is funny. But there's a few common things that they've determined about it. One most particularly is when you have a line that's like a punchline, so to speak, that refutes assumptions that are made by the story that set it up. For example, something that happened to me last night. Middle of the night, this crazy woman starts pounding on the door of my hotel room. So, you know, I had to get up and let her out. And so you see, now this is an example of why when you have a punchline that refutes the assumptions made by the setup, whenever there's surprise involved, something funny happens.
Right. I love that. Well, that's like reverse engineering. And you know what? It takes a big brain to do that. It's tough. You got to sit and think about that for a couple of seconds. So it's not what's obvious head on. It's doing what I call reverse engineering. And what you say is, you know, turning around the assumption. And people have certainly made a great living on that, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, indeed, indeed. And that's the thing. Basically, when you can bring surprise into an element that actually works the left and right side of the brain together, they say, and it's sort of in the middle where you get the joke, so to speak. So your brain is functioning in its highest form when you laugh and get the joke.
So when you speak, let's just take speaking, for example. When you're out there speaking, you speak to different groups, and you're Mr. Funny, you get it. How do you know what's appropriate? How do you know what will most likely land at a, let's say you had a corporate gig?
Well, you know, this is sort of a published thing to do. They say feel out the audience, you know, which in and of itself can be very fun, although illegal in some states. when you understand what it's going to be, jokes that have a target that is sort of well-known subjects of commonality, but targets that aren't going to be harmed by what is said, which is why they always say making yourself the butt of the joke can be great. But when you're trying to be a subject matter expert on the stage, that can be tough. So when you want to take something in hand to make a joke about it, it's nice when you can take something that's not too hot of a topic. You know, like at corporate gigs, you know, they always want you to make jokes about the CEO. Not a good idea. You know, they will. They go, oh, he loves it. He loves it when you make fun of him. Yeah, maybe he does, but I'm not willing to bet my paycheck on. So
right.
You got to use things that are subjects that have commonality. People can identify with it. That's why we get that element, oh, it's funny because it's true. You know, if somebody can identify with something, that's great. Then when you can add that surprise element to it that makes it funny, also great. So I think that using subject lines that have to do with the topic that you are speaking on is a good idea. And they're not that hard to find. Everybody's got their own personal stories, and you can also look some up. And as long as you're quoting the source, you know, it doesn't matter. Funny is funny.
Yeah, funny is funny. I like that. Yeah, I think there's generational humor, though, too. Millennials, what they might find funny, and you might disagree with me, could be very different from an older crowd, a gray-haired crowd, that, let's say. Do you think so?
Yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, for example, the kind of jokes that'll play on a cruise ship for the blue hairs of the world, so to speak, to me, it's a lower-hanging bar. It's lower-hanging fruit. It's a much easier bell to ring, so to speak, than with the younger folks because they've been raised on Family Guy. So, you know, in a cartoon like that, you could tell every joke in the universe in 25 minutes, you know, and make it funnier than somebody standing there trying to deliver the joke to you singularly. So they like everything immediately. They like everything fast, and they want it to be funnier than the last thing that they heard. So they are tough.
That is tough. I'm just thinking right now, that's making me sweat as I sit here and think about Family Guy and what he's done with that animated character and that and the direction that that goes in. You're right. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's almost like how humor used to be, right? It was that 1, 2, 3, that kind of rhythm that if you went to comedy classes that they taught you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so while I've seen that and I've said, well, have they eliminated the need for individuals to stand in front of people and make them laugh? Gratefully, I have found the answer to be, I don't think so, because there are still plenty of people, Louis C.K., you know, lots of guys out there that still work in front of people and still make them laugh, and people will still pay to see them, and, you know, everybody wants something to be funny. You've got the what's in it for me when somebody gives a public speech. You got the what's in it for me thing. Then you have the WIBF, will it be funny, you know? It's sort of like a radio station that you're not necessarily looking for in the morning when you're passing through the radio stations on your car, but when you find it, you're really glad that you did, so you tune in. So humor, I don't think, hurts any presentation aside from, you know, announcement of layoffs and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, but otherwise you can use it. Yeah, fair game. I think it kind of cuts through sometimes whatever it is. Like you're saying, it doesn't matter what it is you're talking about. If you're an expert on whatever subject, there's something about humor, and you mentioned it about the two sides of the brain, getting in that really the sweet spot is the middle spot and people getting it. And do you just know, for you especially, right, because you've done this for so long, what's that feeling like when you know you've landed it?
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world, and it's one of the reasons why I recommend strongly that anybody that speaks in front of audiences have humor ready, have a humorous story, a humorous anecdote, a joke that comes from a book even, or something like that, because when we all get the joke, people connect with you in a certain way that you know that we're all on the same page. You know you have them, I don't want to say you have them where you want them, but you have them where they want you. You have them right where they want you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you connect in it in such a profound way.
Yeah, boy, so true. So would you recommend that speakers, anybody listening, that they take improv or comedy or something to get themselves maybe a little looser or thinking a little differently?
I strongly recommend that somebody have coaching and mentoring mechanisms at their disposal. If going to a class, it works well for you, try it out. You don't know if it's going to work well or not work well until you do it. If you're scared, you know, that's good. Scared is good because you're going to be scared when you do anything humorous and when you stand up in front of people or any other thing. So embrace the scared and go for it, because telling a joke when you're scared is one of the greatest things in the world, especially when it works out.
Yeah.
So I say yes, go to those classes. To the degree you can do classes, if you can have a mentor that you pay, a coach, somebody that helps you with it or listens to what you do, that's great. There are also great books out there that's not so much the, you know, how to write comedy and how to write humor, although those are also there. There are books on quotes for speakers, stories for speakers, humorous anecdotes for speakers. And you can find these sorts of things online. But if you go into a bookstore and actually look at the resource section, I like the way books are organized for these because they're topically related. Like, these are jokes about time management. These are jokes about office politics. These are humorous stories about communication. And these things exist so that you can actually access something to get on that plane with other people. You don't have to be a professional stand-up comedian. You don't have to feel like you're stealing other people's things. You're using tools to help entertain your audience to keep the presentation fresh.
Yeah. You've done TV, commercial work, of course, film. You know, you were in Dumb and Dumber, Independence Day, Stephen King's The Stand, Mobsters and Mormons, Spotlight. Of all of the, and this is a tough question, but let's say of all the movies that you've done, what was the best set that you were on?
The best that I was on was actually on a movie called Stronger that I did with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tatiana Buslani. I'm brutalizing her name. She's from the Orphan Black. It's probably her best thing to say is Orphan Black. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays the true story about the man that lost his legs and the marathon bombing. No humor there. But on this particular set, I remember going on the set and I had to pretend to eat a meal for about 4 hours. In Panama, it was like I had to pretend to eat this meal. And we were put in the set in this restaurant place. And often they sit us someplace before they take us to the actual set. But we were in the set and didn't realize it. And then they brought the food out. And there was a gal sitting next to me, very nice, had like 12 cups of coffee empty around the bottom, talking, very chatty and that sort of thing. And it turned out to be Tatiana. And, you know, we didn't know. You're not meant to talk to the big power stars, you know, unless they talk to you. But she was really nice. It was awesome. And aside from that, making made-for-TV German movies have been my favorites.
I like that, German.
They film made-for-TV movies that are made for German TV. The set is meant to be New York. They film them here in Boston.
Wow.
They're my favorite sets to work.
Speak any German?
I don't speak German at all. They speak English. They speak German and a quantity German and English. If I have any lines, it gets post. The post production edits put my words in German. So I don't know. So there are American actors and German actors and actresses. So there's two or three famous German actors and actresses, and then the rest of us are all Americans around it. But they're very nice. The crew treats everybody on the set like they're the same, whether it's the big star or the guy who, you know, holds the mic.
Love it. Casey McNeil, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kate.
I am a disco. Fire in the Taco Bell. I am a disco. Fire in the gates of hell.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Interesting times of what we're talking about here in this country in this edition of For Your Health. Autism, in fact, there's a new character on Sesame Street that has autism, which I think is great because so many people are living with autism, dealing with autism, and the more we understand, the better. We have Paul Loudon with us. He's got a new book out called Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Author of this new book, Paul Loudon, understands personally what this is like as an autistic adult. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning and realizing and understanding autism and wanting to share your story. First of all, what made you want to share your story?
It sort of happened by chance. It started as the person I was working with to help improve my symptoms and my situation. She had a radio show, and she invited me on as a guest with the intent to trick me into co-hosting it with her, which led to me learning and practicing talking about it. And it just sort of became a realization that I was more verbal than a lot of us on the spectrum and more able to explain things than a lot of us on the spectrum. And so it became clear that this was just something that I had an opportunity to do. I was in the right situation, and I really wanted to try to help people understand better some of the things we struggle with.
Yeah, so when you were a kid, when were you diagnosed with autism?
I was diagnosed at 23, so not a kid
at all. Yeah, not a kid. Yeah. So that means your family, so growing up, did you realize something was different? Did they realize something was different? I mean, that had to be difficult.
So a variety of factors played into my late diagnosis. One, I'm 34 now, so it was a decent amount of time ago. I was born in 1983. By the time I was, you know, an adolescent, it was more of the ADD craze, and I did get diagnosed with that. Before that, though, we also moved around a lot. My dad worked in oil, so we were overseas and then back in the U.S. and then overseas again and back in the U.S. And so while I was struggling with social things and a variety of other things, there was always that element of, well, you know, he's just left all of his friends behind and he's having to make new friends and meet new people and get used to living in a house with a wall around it or whatever. You know, there was always those elements. So it wasn't really until high school when we'd settled back in the States, and particularly when I left to try to go to college and things started falling apart, that we realized that something was seriously wrong and just how seriously wrong it was. And then fortunately enough, at about 21 or 22, I stumbled across an article about autism and particular Asperger's. And from reading that article, it gave me inspiration to go and consult with a neuropsychologist and seek diagnosis.
And what did the neuropsychologist tell you about the spectrum and Asperger's and all of that?
Honestly, not much. What I worked with her on was just the testing. So go in, parents go in and talk about her history. I take a variety of tests. Some of them are standard IQ tests, things like that. Other ones are ones focused more on autism. And then I got a diagnosis in the mail just telling me, you've got Asperger's. And from there, it was largely about research on my own, trying to learn more about it, read about other people's experiences with it, and try to spend a lot of time learning about myself and how I experience the world.
So in finding that diagnosis out, getting that in the mail, Asperger's, like you said, finding out more about yourself, what are the things that you have to battle as somebody who has Asperger's?
Well, first, I do prefer to just say I have autism now because the Asperger's diagnosis has been removed in the latest edition of the DSM, and I feel that's generally for the better in helping people recognize that it is one disorder and that those of us who may be higher functioning still often have significant challenges. I have severe challenges with self-management and motivation. I have a hard time upkeeping my living space, regularly paying bills. I regularly lost jobs just because I was a very extremely literal person, and so I actually read the employee handbook, and I would contradict my boss on things when he got things wrong, and that, you know, technically correct is not the good kind of correct, despite what Futurama may say. So there were a lot of issues all along the way, and so between that, some comorbid conditions, I have gut issues and things like that. I have sensory issues in particular relating to sound. So I've got a whole range of symptoms that provide me with struggles in day-to-day life.
You talk about communication. What parts of communication are challenging for people with autism?
One of the big things is that with autism, we're typically seen by people who don't have autism as missing a lot of things, that we don't pick up on, you know, facial expressions, body language, tone of voice. But we also tend to not use that as much ourselves, and we often feel that other people are missing carefully chosen words or very clear to us statements. And so it's sort of a two-way street where we communicate in a different way than the people around us do in many cases, but it's a situation where if we're in a room full of autistic people, support group or whatever, we often find that we feel pretty comfortable because the people around us communicate like we do. So a lot of times it's the implied communication, be it something like sarcasm or tone of voice or something like, you know, gee, that garbage can sure looks full, meaning would you mind taking out the garbage without actually saying it? And so there's a whole host of things that we tend to miss in communication, but we also feel like people misinterpret our communication in ways that we find surprising. For example, I might say I don't like McDonald's hamburgers. Now, to a typical person, that means the same thing as I dislike McDonald's hamburgers, but I might just mean it as saying, you know, I'll eat them, but they aren't on my list of things I actively seek out. You know, it's not a dislike, it's just also not a like. So I might be extremely technical in how I say things that people don't get, and that can often lead to someone being insulted or interpreting a statement as more negative than it is. And so there's a lot of conflicts of communication that benefit from both sides understanding that the other side communicates differently.
Oh, so agree with that. Powerful what you just said. What kind of advice would you offer up to parents to understand a little bit better a child who is autistic? Because, I mean, we know that that's a big struggle.
One of the biggest pieces of advice I give is that if they're communicating at all, be it verbal, be it nonverbal, such as actions or even just random sounds, place as much trust as you can in them, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. If they say, you know, that hurts, don't say, oh, come on, it's just a little, because sensory issues mean that it could feel a lot more severe to them in terms of hurting or being bright or being loud than it does to you. And so a lot of times you run into this situation where as you experience things, people keep telling you, oh, it's not a big deal, or I believe you can do it, and then you fail at it. You start to lose faith in your own decision-making process. It can be hard to trust yourself when no one around you trusts you. So wherever you can, trust their experiences and try to solve problems in ways that validate their expression of what they experienced with that problem.
Yeah, again, great advice. So you know this, the FDA is trying to find some insight from people with autism, so you would be one of those people. And given that, what would you tell them about treatments? And you've been talking about it, what you've done yourself, but what kind of treatments would you say the FDA should look at?
You know, one of the things that has helped me personally the most, I struggled a lot with depression, and when I finally found the right medication for my depression, it also helped with my anxiety somewhat. And I discovered that a lot of times I was spending 10, 20, 30% of my energy on managing anxiety, which meant that I only had 70% on dealing with additional stuff from autism, and then additional stuff from autism would increase my anxiety, making it even harder. And so as I got my anxiety under control, my ability to deal with some of my autism struggles, things that would normally bother me dramatically, like if someone at a nearby table had their children watching videos without headphones, it used to make me so tense and so stressed that I'd be doing everything to get out of the restaurant as soon as I can. I'd be like, okay, I want to pay my bill, I want to leave, I need to get someplace more in my control. And now it's just sort of like, eh, it happens. So I found that a lot of times what helps, and I've heard this from other people, is treating not the autism, but the other conditions that often go along with it. You know, if they have gut issues, finding out if a dietary solution can help with that. Pay attention to nutrition issues. Pay attention to any other comorbid symptoms. Seizures are common in individuals with autism, subclinical seizures. So you don't even see them happening, but they can cause someone to appear to, you know, lose the idea mid-sentence and stare off into the distance or whatever, where it's the brain has a seizure internally that doesn't show up as the stereotypical physical expression of a seizure that a lot of people think of. So there's a lot of comorbid conditions with autism, and I think that, you know, while we don't really have a good idea for medications to treat autism itself, there's a lot that goes along with it that we can treat that can really help people struggling with autism be more comfortable and then better able to interact with their therapists, their therapy, their family, their educators, anyone around them in more positive and constructive ways.
All right, great place to end this. Great stuff. Paul Loudon, the book is Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Pick it up. I'm assuming, Paul, people can get it on Amazon, right?
Absolutely. People can get it on Amazon or loudononautism.com to find out more about me and see some of my videos and blog posts.
Great. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.